episode of the Alski Show, getting ready to hit, bitches. Big shout out to all the right, my brother George, for supporting the cause. Make sure you check out thealskishow.podomatic.com. Subscribe, get notified every week. This is what it's all about. It's all about having a good time. Support those who support you. I would love to, and will, congratulate my brother, Chris Robots Will Kill, for 15 years of excellence. Hope you all enjoyed the show over at my plastic heart. It was great. If you missed out, make sure you catch the next one. This guy's been putting a lot of work into his work, and he supports a lot of people. So check out his website, check out his page. I know everybody knows who he is, of course. I do. So once again, Chris, congratulations to 15 years of great shit, period. You know, end of story. With that being said, I'd like to give a few shout-outs, you know, to my usual, Stickified, always supporting with stickers and all the good shit, Fresh Paint, Montana Paint, all the other paint companies out there. Don't be bashful, send me some fucking paint. Don't be cheap. Big shout out to my brother from another mother, Zeus, my bombing partner, JRC, SNR Crew, OTC Kings, my brother Bid, Dem, Sloan, TPA, the public fucking animal, my gorgeous wife Vicky, my daughter Chia, the boys, and my little Juju Bean. And most of all, I want to thank the listeners. And now, I'm going to put it nice and short with that part. I would like to, I don't know how to bring them in exactly. You know me, I talk a lot of shit. I never have a problem. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to break it down very simple. We have this guy originally from Staten Island, ventured out, left, hit a couple other states, winds up in Oakland, and he was in town, you know, for Chris's thing. One of the featured artists, I may say. And tell me, Mr. Night Owl, how did you and Chris link up? Are you both Staten Islanders? Is that how it went down?
Yeah, we're both Staten Islanders. Oddly enough, we grew up probably 10 minutes away from each other, but never met until a few years ago.
That's funny. Here I am putting on some fucking Method Man, this, you know, the Shaolin shit, you know, and meanwhile, you lived in Staten Island and you never met him till a few years ago, basically.
Yeah, right? Pretty much. Reached out on that nasty social media thing.
Now, did you know him before that, before you met? Did you know he was from Staten Island?
I didn't know he was from Staten Island, but I definitely knew he was from New York City because I'd been seeing his stickers and stuff up in the streets since, like, the 90s.
Right. Great fucking...
It's one of the things that always stuck out in my head.
Great artist. Stickers are phenomenal. His collaborations with hundreds of artists are, you know... superior shit.
Insane, yeah.
You know,
Everything they do is just...
I actually had him on my Alski show, you know, his robot holding the TV up, which was his
classic
idea. I forgot where he said it was from.
Anything.
There you go.
John Cusack.
That's it. Well, I guess you Staten Islanders have a good memory because I should have fucked up.
80s movies.
Yeah, absolutely. So now, you're explain to the listeners what... is your game? What's your Instagram? Because you go by Night Owl,
right?
And you have these fat fucking owls. And what I mean by fat, is
pH fat.
They're dope. Bad pH. Yeah, fuck the pH. No pH balance. It's just fucking fat. But the artist part and the graffiti part. How do you mingle in between?
I just kind of take it day by day, honestly. Mm-hmm. You know, some days I'm in the studio, and then other days we go out, go painting.
Okay.
I mean, at this point in my career, I don't really do much.
I actually saw that Wu-Tang
The one from yesterday over at the Richmond Hood Company.
Oh, shit, man. That shit was thanks, fucking man. Hot.
Wu-Tang Wednesday tribute, you know.
Now, wait. Your Instagram, so people could check out your page. People that don't know of you or of me, the first time you listen in, I'm Alski OTC King on Instagram, and my guest is...
Naito Oru on Instagram. I'll spell it for you.
Yeah, you better do that, because Naito Oru...
Yeah, if you don't say speak Japanese,
what it means. It's Japanese. Oru is owl.
Right.
And what's...
Naito is night.
Okay. Well, listen, I figured it was night owl.
At least that's
what
they told me. I don't know.
Okay. Well, that's like someone had given me letters, and for all I know, I was writing go fuck yourself or something. So,
exactly.
But you never know. So I'll take your word on the Naito Oru, Mr. Night Owl.
I'll spell it real quick. It's N-A-I-T-O _ O-R-U.
Wow, see, I even spelled it right. I see you looking at my note.
I got that.
Not bad for an old fucking white guy, huh? So now, you actually use paint, because I seen.
Oh, yeah.
You do your canvases, obviously. What do you have, a website or?
Currently, I've got one being built, but I do a lot of stuff with Chopsticks Art Space out in Oakland, and they have a website, so usually my stuff is available out there.
Great.
And hopefully at the end of the summer, I'll have my own.
Very good.
In progress.
Now, you started when? When did this all, how did this all come about? Were you a graffiti writer?
Yeah, we...
Did you, you know, say, okay, I want to do a character? I mean, break it down.
Yeah, I mean, we started, I guess, like, I don't know, a lot of kids in New York probably starting in, like, third grade. I mean, I'll be honest, I got started...
You didn't go to Catholic
more,
school if
actually,
you started
I did.
Oh, did you? Yeah. Okay, yeah, I got my knuckles fucked up quite a few times. Well, and I think that's where my hand style came from. Look at my fucking knuckles. Yeah, Tell me if those haven't been cracked. New York City knuckles.
Hell yeah, there you go.
Yeah, we had Sister Mary Dennis, that fucking bitch. And she's still alive. She's got to be 110, that fucking stretch.
Yeah, still going, huh?
Yeah. That's what we used to call a stretch. She was about 7 foot fucking tall.
Damn.
If we had a writing class, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the paper that you wrote on, and even on the blackboard, it was your lines that you write in.
Right.
But in between had these little dots. And if you didn't cross your letters properly by those dots, like argument's sake, you had to line the T, cross the T,
right,
had to be on that line. If you did a capital S, the loop had to meet on that line. If you didn't do it right, and the nun, which would be your teacher, would call Sister Mary Dennis, the principal, in, and she wouldn't like what she saw, you were holding your hands out. She was cracking you with a yardstick.
Ooh.
And the other punishment was every book in your cubby under your ass, you know, the desks.
Right.
They would have you put your arms out, and they would put the books.
Ooh.
And you would have to hold them up. And if you dropped, crack, fucking yardstick.
So that classifies as torture these days.
Yeah, it was like fucking murder going to fucking Catholic school. And I actually
biceps,
got thrown
though, right?
out of Catholic school in fifth grade. You remember the they call them vicordas. It was a fucking flute, plastic flute.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Fifth grade, towards the end of the year, it's me, this kid Severio, John, Franco, rest in peace. It was us four, maybe a few other kids. We had just started this program, and... the flutes, recorder, whatever they call it, they were lined up by the windows. Now, those windows, you would turn the handle and push them out. You know, that's how the ventilation in the windows worked. These flutes were all sitting on the ledge. So us fucking wise asses, you know, decided we're going to push them out the fucking window. So what we did was, you know, who went there, who went here, whatever. We push them all out the window. We start laughing, whatever. Nobody really realized anything, and we thought we got away with it. Little did we know, because, you know, we were fifth graders, the Sister Mary Dennis's office was right underneath our class. And here comes fucking Stretch, fucking fuming, smoke coming out of her fucking nose, ears, ass, everything. And... she just tore up the whole classroom, And make a long story short, we got beatings, of course. my mother, all our parents had to come up. My mother comes up, excuse me, and our punishment for throwing these flutes out was we got left back.
Shit, man.
We got left back
harsh.
A grade for throwing flutes out. Now, my mother turns around and tells her, you can't hold them back for that. We'll pay for the flutes. This fucking bitch turns around and tells my mother, you don't tell me how to run my school. They're getting left back. If you don't like it, take your kid out of school.
Damn.
And that's exactly what my mother did. And I got left back a grade, not because my grades were fucked up, because I threw a flute out the fucking window.
That's
well,
just
several
ridiculous.
Flutes.
Yeah, but still and, ridiculous.
And that's what it was. So I didn't mean to take the limelight off of you, but I don't
story,
even know why
man.
The
it's
fuck I'm talking about it, but... Anyway, yes, you said you went to Catholic school, so go ahead, take
yeah,
it away.
So, yeah, usually after we got out of school, we'd walk home, and, you know, they let all the third through eighth graders out at the same time, and I guess a couple of eighth graders kind of put us on to painting, and, you know, we started, I guess I started more because I kind of like stealing the paint more than painting. It's a bit of
wow.
a klepto growing up. So
stealing at such a young age.
Well,
I
who
can't
has money
I
in third grade, man? Like,
well, yeah. let me tell you something. My two boys, 11 and 12 years old, these fucking kids got four bikes, and I'm still trying to figure out where the fuck they came from. I'm not going to get into
never
that because
you,
my
right?
wife does listen to the show. And she knows. She ain't stupid, but them two, boy.
Yeah, that reminds me. No, we never brought the paint home either. We'd always stash it in the woods somewhere. Less questions.
Yeah. I had a stash of paint in my father's shed. Mm-hmm. And my father would say, where did all this paint come from? And... I would have a bunch of bikes as well in the backyard, but, you know, Schwinn's, Apollo's, mm-hmm. that type of bike. And I would say, no, Dad, you know, these aren't my bikes. I paint them, and they pay me. And he fell for it, but meanwhile, they were bikes that I stole and mm-hmm. paint that I
chopping
stole.
Chopping them up.
And I would paint them, yeah, chop them up, and sell them. You know, and shit, you know, I got away with it. I got away with a lot of shit, but... I don't regret it either, but, you know, at least my father was cool throughout a lot of things. I mean, I got caught with the graph, you know, my father didn't do anything. You know, he just spoke to me, broke it down. He was like, listen, is this, you know, you're going to wind up going to jail over something like this? And, you know, hey, I actually did at one point, but. So take us further into, you know, the upbringing of Mr. Night Owl. Was it always Night Owl?
No, Night Owl didn't start until 2006.
Okay. And what did you go by before?
I think the first name ever was Wad, W-A-D.
Okay.
Then probably wrote that for a few years and switched over to Ski, S-K-I.
Ah.
But there's probably
a ski,
hundreds
a ski.
Of people that did
well,
that,
yeah,
right?
you got Ski, Ski Your
it's
New York.
It's a really original name.
Big shout out to him mm-hmm. and his crew. I believe he's out in, oh shit, I saw it on his page. I think he's in Germany or something.
Oh, no shit. Man. Nice. It's
him and 2SA, mm-hmm. very good artists. And he was Ski for a while too.
Right.
You know, and how did you come up with the Ski? I'm curious.
Polish last name.
Polish last name. Okay. See, I'm not Polish, but my
it
Ski
very,
thing
very
was.
Easy one to come up with.
It was like, yo, like you see one of your boys, yo, what's up, homie?
Mm-hmm.
Back then, it was like, yo, what up, Ski? So
right.
that's where it all came about. And I'm definitely not Polish, but I liked it. I thought it was unique. I added the Al. My name is not Al.
Mm-hmm.
I just came up with the Al Ski,
and
that's the end of the story with me, anyway. But. I had plenty of tags before that, you know, Slick 007, mm-hmm. No 2. I had a bunch of them.
Yeah, everyone goes through a bunch of names yeah. before you get one.
Joe, go ahead. This is actually funny because everything you're saying, I got something to fucking say about the same
awesome.
Way. But I like the Ski part.
Mm-hmm.
So we're yeah. sort of related.
Mm-hmm. Then I guess after that, I was writing HPB for like High Price. And mm-hmm. yeah, that was... probably did that until about 2000-ish or so.
Right.
I'd basically relocated out to San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got out there, it was just kind of like, you know, there was really no graffiti scene at all. There was a very small one, and, like, the city was suppressing it. So everything was just kind of disappearing. I kind of fell off, stopped writing. And then around 2006 or so, I just kind of caught the bug again. Started painting, you know, doing little tags, did a lot of stickers, doing some stencil work.
Mm-hmm. You ever get arrested for the graffiti? Or?
Knock on wood, no. I've been stopped many times, just kind of talked my way out of a lot of it.
Mm-hmm. They'll lock you up for stickers.
That blows my mind.
That's like, are you kidding me? What kind of vandalism is that?
They treat it as a felony. It's
like, you know, do they lock up fucking people that advertise their shit or fucking, you know, remember the poster billboard
shit?
You know,
post no
bills.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, so the sticker
funny story
game,
about that. My mom used to give me shit all the time about putting up stickers. I was like, mm-hmm. Look around. Like, Ron Paul's got stickers all over Staten Island. Like, what are you kidding me?
Right.
He can do it. Why can't I?
Yeah, I mean, listen, when you buy, argument's sake, you buy, okay. I bought a battery for my Harley. Came with stickers.
Right.
So what are you supposed to do with the stickers?
Put them on something.
Right. So, I mean, I got plenty of places to put stickers, but my point is, you know, if someone says, well, you're Alski and your stickers are everywhere, I turn around and tell them, well, I have a website, I send sticker packs out, and, you know, I'm not responsible for that. I just don't understand how they could lock you up for shit that's up that they didn't catch you doing. That's what I don't understand.
I don't get that either.
You know,
there's
if they
no
catch you red-handed, that's a different story. But not by seeing your shit. That's fucking wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I do the same sticker packs over the website thing too.
Yeah, like a lot of people. You know, that's a good way of getting your stickers.
I don't know how they get
the
out
of the fucking country. You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, I have stickers to my knowledge, pretty much across Europe, mm-hmm. and you know, my customers, you know, people that buy shit, I know I send them, and people that are, you know, in Switzerland and fucking France, you know, wherever they may be, I make sure I add quite a few extra Alski stickers. So they're all over the place. You know, they're up in Rome, you know. Karen Farmer, Australia. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you heard of Karen Farmer.
I think so.
Check her out on Instagram. She's a great artist. I love this girl's work. Hopefully, if she ever comes to New York, I will definitely treat her to a night out, and maybe I'll take her to the Freights. No freights. Yeah, fucking cops. Take her to a movie or something, you know, with the family. But anyway, I just don't understand how they could lock you up for that. I really don't.
Blows my mind. There's no rationale behind that.
No. You know, I mean, if you're putting a sticker on a cop's forehead, I understand.
That's different.
But sticking them on a pole, I mean, you know, what
just makes the pole look better, if anything.
True. I got to agree. I mean, how about the advertisement on skateboards and, mm-hmm. you know, that type of stuff? You know, it looks good. Skateboard parks are fucking loaded, you know, with advertisement.
Totally.
BMX tracks, all, you know, I mean.
Everywhere's loaded with that.
Why is it different because you put it on a city pole? Or
I think they're a little pissed off you didn't pay for it. You know, you didn't
well,
get that
yeah,
permit.
That's just like those e-cigarettes. You know, mm-hmm. they're trying to tell you, well, we don't know nothing about it. We don't know what the outcome is. Blah 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 blah. But I guarantee you, within a few years, that vape oil is going to be fucking taxed.
Probably.
And instead of paying $15 for a little bottle, you're probably going to pay triple the fucking price.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like New York City cigarettes. How much is a pack of cigarettes out by you?
I don't smoke, but I think they're like $6 or $7 a pack.
All right, $6-$7. Yeah. Now, you ask me, you know, you're in Manhattan, pack of cigarettes running you anywhere from $12 to $14
Damn.
A pack.
That's
so
ridiculous.
Why is a cigarette in New York that expensive?
It's just taxes.
Right.
Yeah.
So
local city taxes.
You know, they always say if you can make it in New York, you can make it anywhere. That's mm-hmm. absolutely true because you know what? If you make $100,000 in New York, it's like you're still considered middle class, low, mm-hmm. you know. But if you're making $100,000 in the Carolinas,
you're balling.
You're fucking, you're way up there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a house
probably
in
take the next year off.
A house, an average shithole in the boroughs is going to cost you $700,000-$800,000. You go out to the suburbs, it's cheaper, but then the taxes are fucking up there.
Mm-hmm.
You go to North Carolina, South Carolina, you know, Delaware, wherever, and the house is costing you fucking $80,000. Why? 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 Why is the $80,000 home bigger than the $700,000 home, and the taxes are less, and like car insurance is cheaper? Why? They have four wheels. They have a door to mm-hmm. open. They have a bed to sleep on. Their fucking walls are just like my walls.
Same damn thing.
So why? You know, I mean, I remember being a kid walking around with $100, and you were fucking, you were made.
Took you forever to spend that.
But today,
now that's like
shit. You work in Manhattan, and you go to a fucking truck in the morning for breakfast, $8. You go have lunch, $15. So how, you know, if you got to break it down to an allowance, is $100 enough for 5 days if you're working, you know?
Not really.
Then the transportation, and then the price of a fucking, of a gallon of gas. Right now, I think it's $2.80. 279.9, mm-hmm. whatever the fuck it is. What's gas over there?
Yeah, you guys get it cheap out here. We're up to like 340, 360.
Oh, shit. Oh, good. Yeah. So you're getting fucked in the ass.
Oh, all the time.
All right, good. Fuck you.
All the time.
That sounds good to me. Fuck that. I feel bad
We've
for us.
We've never had cheap gas out there.
But hey, you go to, I remember early 90s, I go to Italy, and they go by a liter. Now, mm-hmm. it's 4 liters to a gallon, if I'm not mistaken. And back then, they had their own money. It was lira.
The lira.
In U.S. dollars, a liter of gas was $3 in the late 80s, early 90s. So that's really a fucking...
They were way ahead of it.
That's like a fucking shock to your fucking system.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, back to the graffiti stickers and all that good shit, because now we're getting into fucking current affairs.
Geopolitics.
Well, listen, you're from Oakland. You're originally from Staten Island. I'm actually enjoying this. I think it's pretty exciting, you know, to compare culture, you know, fucking cost of living, mm-hmm. all of that shit. So you got into the stickers. I'm just fucking this whole interview up by jumping off the fucking grid over here. But
yeah, it's all good. You know, there's no game plan.
Yeah, never a game plan. That's why I like my show. I hope everybody else likes my show. I actually love my show. Fuck what everybody else thinks.
It's a good show, man.
Bad. There we go. Well, thank you. So, Dad, take it away. Take it away, Mr. Night Owl.
Yeah, I got into doing stickers and kind of got into that really heavy. Like I mentioned, I was in San Diego moved out there in like 99.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was there, that's when Shepard Fairey was kind of like hitting it real big. He was out there and... Remember, if you walked down the street and you saw, like, an Obey sticker, there was usually, like, 20 different designs. Like, it mm-hmm. wasn't the same one. So that always kind of stuck in my head. So I've always been, like, I think right now I've probably got, like, 35 designs, like, different ones.
He had a case on that, didn't he?
Oh, he had a bunch of cases.
Yeah, a bunch of cases. But did you ever get the opportunity to meet him?
Oh, plenty of times.
Oh,
super cool.
Cool
guy. Really nice, really generous.
You know, I kind of like that Andre the Giant-looking type of thing. Mm-hmm. You know, I forget the character. What I like the most is just the word itself.
The Obey.
That's it. I personally love it. I think it's great. The ones that I really see most are, you know, Obey in white with a red, you know, with a red background.
Yeah,
red and white is one of the best color combinations for a sticker.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
Me too.
I love it.
Yeah, I'm guilty. Black, red, and white on mine.
But look at my truck book.
Yeah, you're wearing one right now.
My truck book is red. You mm-hmm. know, because everybody buys a black book. And what color is a black book?
Black.
You know, the OT City truck book.
It's kind of expected,
is
right?
Is red. And
stands out in the crowd,
look,
man.
Hey, I even have my shirt. Mm-hmm. It's got a red Alski. I don't know. I think as far
it's
as marketing... Marketing goes, I think red pops more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a classic color combo. You know, the propagandists all use that.
Yeah, well, maybe, yeah, okay.
It was effective.
I sort of agree with that. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, look at my daughter's softball jersey. It's red and white.
Mm-hmm.
See that? Hi, Chia. Hey. So you meet him, cool people. Who else have mm-hmm. you met in the game? I mean, The sticker game is what? Wheat paste as well? I mean, we have cost over here.
Yeah, consider that different, but yeah, most people do.
Okay.
Both of them.
Right, right, right. I think cost took it to another level.
Dude's a beast.
You know, great person. You know, mm-hmm. Very, very, in my opinion, a genius in the game.
Super genius.
And you can't knock the guy. You really can't because, you know, France.
Yeah, I was in Paris last summer, and like every time I put up an owl, there was a cost like right there.
Great photo ops, right? Yeah. Hey, that listen, people are taking pictures of that all the time. I mean, mm-hmm. if I ran into one, yeah, I'd climb and fucking smack an owl ski sticker next to it. Why not?
Absolutely.
What the fuck? It's free advertisement.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Free as me. Free as me. So now, you got into the stickers and the paint. How did the paint and the owl go? Because basically owls are black and white, gray. You brought in color.
And lots of them.
And I can't really, I'm not going to call it animated. To me, the color combinations that I've seen off your page, honestly, brings them to life in a different perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Where there's a lot of artists out there that do use an owl, basically are black and white, gray, like I mentioned, and they'll put like a green color in the eye. Mm-hmm. You, I've noticed, you use purples a lot.
Oh, yeah,
and
purples,
oranges,
pinks, blues,
pinks. Yeah,
all the colors.
I like the way you do that. I mean,
well,
it works for what you do. So explain where the owl came from. What made you want to represent yourself with the night owl?
Hmm. Well,
it's a fair question.
Yeah, no, it's a very fair
no
question.
No gun to the head.
No, I've got an answer for you.
Good.
I'm glad. I hope you do.
You know, back in, I used to be an architect for mm-hmm. a while, and clients would always kind of contact me during the day with a bunch of questions. Just, they like to have conversations all day when I should be working, so I eventually stopped answering the emails during the day, and I'd only answer them like 2 a.m. when they should be sleeping. So one of my clients, you know, eventually was like, you know what, you're the night owl. I was like, that's a cool name. So I kind of just grabbed it, ran with it. And, you know, like over the years, the more research I did about owls, and the more I liked them, the more, like, you kind of learn that they are a lot of, like, the ancient indigenous cultures, like, place them up very highly in their, like, beliefs and everything.
Right, like the Egyptians with cats
mm-hmm.
and so on and so forth.
Right? Well, even the Egyptians had owls as well.
Right. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it just, you know, kind of goes back through time all over the world, kind of respected.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when I travel a lot, too, I kind of see it. Like, I was in Turkey a couple of years ago, Germany, Poland, and, like, all these places have owls in their culture. You see them on the streets. And
right.
Wow, holy shit. You know, so it's kind of one of these things where it actually kind of, you know, it crosses cultural borders just through my art, just by choosing the owl.
Have you ever ran into an owl?
I've run into a couple. Never anything too scary. You know, mm-hmm. they were just, like, kind of small ones. But yeah, they're pretty cool creatures.
Even the small one, I mean, you know, they can be intimidating.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, their claws.
Right. Yeah, I don't want to get hit with those.
They'll rip your shit apart.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you see them flying through the, you know, like an eagle, so to speak, you know, swooping down and getting their prey. I mean, I like I was telling you before, we were underneath the Whitestone Bridge doing construction work 5 years ago or so when they were doing the new infrastructure road, blah, 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 on the Bronx side. And a guy I work with, Chris, we're up in a man lift and we're going up 100. It was about 100 feet, 110 feet from the ground up underneath, cutting out, you know, wiring, conduit. And I couldn't speak. I was speechless. In a man lift, and this fucking owl had to be 3-4 feet. It was like on
That's
steroids.
Impressive.
I don't know. It had to be 100 fucking
pounds.
New
York owl,
you know. And this fucking thing just gave me the look that I practically shit in my pants. You know, you see the size of this thing. I didn't know if it was fake. That's how at first, very first, you know, I saw the beady eye type of shit. And I'm looking, I'm like, yo, that's got to be like a statue somebody put up there, you know, some voodoo type of shit or something. But it was a real fucking owl. And make a long story short, you know, we finally started going down, and it was one of the most beautiful sights, seeing this owl drop and just take off, you know, the flight, the wingspan. I couldn't believe it. It was big. Mm-hmm. It was really big. Now, I don't know if it was like some, you know, fucked up owl that grew big, because I never knew how big owls could get.
Owl.
But this fucking thing was big. It was like the fucking David Banner in the Hulk.
Damn.
You know, that's, you compare a regular owl to a fucking owl that's like so much more bigger. It's crazy. And like I said, I do love owls. Now, I mean, I guess that stuck with me, and seeing owls popping up here and there, a lot of tattoos, and, you know, yourself, and there's other artists that draw tattoos. It's pretty cool. I like the whole story behind the way you picked it up. I think that's pretty good. I mean, names do have a story behind them. I mean,
absolutely.
You could be Owl, and the guy next door could be Owl, but it's
two different reasons
why. I kind of like the how you pronounce it again?
The Naito Ooru.
You know, that's you don't look
no, not at all.
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't tell anyone.
No, I won't. So, what's in store, you know, gallery wise? You have anything like that, you know, out in
well, you
Oakland
know,
or
yeah, because
you,
know, you
were
with
you
this
were
place.
Here for Chris's
yeah, for the
15th,
Robots Will Kill show
right.
just the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was another one at Shop Exit 9.
Okay.
But as far as Oakland goes, we've got, I do a lot of work with Chopsticks Art Space out there. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like an underground gallery.
Right.
And it's pretty cool.
You gotta like tag me to a bunch of these other, mm-hmm. you know, because you're
oh,
on the
absolutely.
Other side. You know, you're on the West Coast, I'm on the East Coast. I like to venture. I mean, my job, the show, the website, it's very time consuming, and I know you mm-hmm. understand all of that. Sometimes it's hard to get on Instagram. You know, sometimes
oh,
people are like, oh, this motherfucker doesn't like my pictures. Well, hey, listen, you know,
it's
I pulled
many,
12 hour fucking
there,
shift. You know what I'm saying?
Last thing you want to do is look at Instagram after that.
Yeah, but, you know, I do like catching up, but I do like new things to look at. And, yeah, please, by all means, tag me. I mean, if there's something you think that's good, even shouting it out on the show, just, you know, give me a call.
Well,
you got my
definitely
number.
Chopsticks Art Space. Give them a look.
Absolutely. Shout them out.
Yeah, Chopsticks.
There so, you go.
Also, my buddy Eddie Cola and I are planning. He used to run this gallery called Local, and we did this event called Carpe Diem, which was you'd invite 20 big-name artists to the gallery. Pretty much lock them inside for 24 hours. Everyone had the same size canvas, and everyone had to create something in 24 hours for the show. We did that for 2 years in a row.
Do you find a 24-hour window intimidating?
Not at all.
No?
I actually kind of like it.
Okay. Me personally, if I had 24 hours to do a certain size canvas, I don't think I would like it as much as if they would say, yo, get this done. Because I feel that in 24 hours, they're going to expect something more than what you'll put out there, so to speak. But it's got to be, it's like those TV shows, you know, like the guys okay, use a pound of liver, use liver, onions, and fucking
watermelon,
and make me something. That's kind of fucked up. Me, I don't know how those people sit at a table and eat half of that shit.
No, man.
I'm sorry.
It can't
listen,
all be good.
I like a hamburger. I like fucking burnt fries. Don't fucking throw no watermelon into the fucking burger, because that's going to taste like shit. So I don't know how these people must have fucking stomachs made out of steel. So go ahead. What was the size of the canvas though?
4 foot by 8 foot.
Okay, so that's
you know,
that's a nice piece.
I mean, like a lot of people go in there and do brushes, but do cans a lot quicker.
You know, brush is a beautiful art form, but
it's slow.
it is slow. To finesse a spray can is very difficult. It
sure is.
I mean, listen, I did my street bombing, and you know, I tried doing the pieces, the legal walls. I've tried a little bit of everything. And you learn every day a different technique. When you start painting, there's always something new that happens by accident,
right.
Of course. And some of these guys, the way they break it down, the way they clean shit up, Just WF Crew, my brother, I love this guy. He taught me like so many little tricks, and those little tricks make shit so much easier. Mm-hmm. And there's a ton of other graffiti writers that know how to finesse a can. You know, shout out to Germs. This guy's got caps for every fucking line he does. Mm-hmm. I call him the doctor. Painted with him, and he would always tell me, "Ah, do a little of this, do a little of that." I always liked the criticism, you know, where, you know, certain people would be like my boy FC, for instance. You know, we're doing a wall, you know, illegally, and he's like, "Nah, you ain't done, nah. You know, yo, add this, add that," and I'm like, "Come on, motherfucker, mm-hmm. I want
to
go home."
Trying to get out of here,
but I like that type of criticism, and you choose the can over a brush, mm-hmm. that's got to be intense. I mean, you could basically do owls any way you want.
Oh, absolutely.
But to do it with a spray can, I think that's pretty good.
Do you have any
tips with the can, you know, to give to the listeners? Or
I mean, honestly, I use all fat caps and mm-hmm. don't really do a lot of cutbacks. Just try to get it the first time.
Okay. So you're like me. See, like, I don't do sketches when I do pieces. Mm-hmm. I just fucking do them.
Yeah, maybe I'll do like a 5-minute sketch sometimes, but a lot of times I just go off the dome too.
I mean, if I post a sketch on a piece of paper, that's as far as it goes. Mm-hmm. I did attempt once to bring a piece of paper with me to do it, and the minute the can hit the wall,
it's completely different.
The paper winds up in the back pocket. And then there's a lot of people that go buy it. Mm-hmm. You know,
that's too rigorous.
Yeah,
man. Like,
for me anyway.
For me, everything I do, even if I do a sketch first, when I do step up to the wall, it's still improv once you get up there.
Yeah, but I like what what you say you do. I try to get it in the first shot. That's fine by me.
I don't have time, man.
No.
how do you?
So you're basically you got a palette of fucking colors, mm-hmm. and you just grab and like, all right, let me fucking do this, let me do that. Basically, just like
a
graffiti
writer.
Pretty
much.
You know, when
you
go
start
bombing
with one color and you just play off it.
When you go bombing and you got fucking a variety of colors in your fucking bag, I mean, you just grab what you grab and just make sure when you outline it pops.
Right.
So
exactly.
That the owl though, the colors are great. The colors are definitely great. The sticker thing. How much time do you put into these stickers? Because you gave me a nice little pack. Obviously, it's in my bag. It seems like it takes time.
Oh, it definitely does.
You know, it's not like, and you're done.
No, I mean, each one takes a few minutes. I usually have a lot of, like, in the morning when I wake up, have coffee. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm still kind of asleep, so I'll just sit there and rock some stickers till I wake up.
Yeah, well, there's nothing wrong with that.
20 to 30 a morning.
Wow. So you must have a lot of fucking stickers.
Oh, yeah. Thousands.
Well,
thousands.
Me, I get into it, then I don't. Then I, you know, I even went to... I went the route of there's this guy Uncle Meat Loves You on Instagram, and he had these wooden blocks, mm-hmm. rubber stamps.
Oh, cool!
And he did two stamps for me, and they're great. You mm-hmm. know, when you need something quick and you want to pump out 20, 30 of them, you know, you just boom, 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 boom. Mm-hmm. Like that sound effects, huh?
Oh hell yeah! it's classic.
But listen, if I could cheat, I'll cheat. Mm-hmm. As far as a sticker goes.
Oh, yeah, I definitely have a bunch like vinyl designs that get printed mm-hmm. out. I've got
right,
a
right.
screen printing press in the studio, rock some there as well.
Mm.
Kind of mix it up, hand drawn, screen print, vinyls. And just keep it going, keep it fresh, switch it all up.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that.
You know, as far as I'm concerned, the more designs, the better.
Well, yeah. But how do you come up with the more designs? Like, what is it that you do different? Because the eyes are different, the fucking mm-hmm. feathers are different. And you can't draw one identical. I don't care how good you are.
No.
So that kind of works in your favor.
Mm-hmm.
But, when I do an A, I know it's going to be either a lowercase, capital, script, this, that, whatever. When you go to do an owl, you know you got the nose, the mouth, and the fucking eyes. But mm-hmm. the feathers... Like, how do you do it?
Yeah, honestly.
Is there a routine or you just do it?
I don't even mess with the feathers, man. It's, in a sense, it's kind of like, how do I explain it? Like, a lot of it's just kind of like feel. You know, you do the eyes and the nose and you center the face. And then after that, a lot of it's just kind of like this flow that I feel as I do it.
Oh, I hear you.
You draw to the left.
Yeah, I hear that.
Yeah. So do you mind if we talk about Staten Island for a minute?
Well, of course, absolutely.
Oh, awesome.
No, I don't mind. I absolutely do.
Yeah, I just wanted to shout out a couple of the writers back there in the day that, you know, influenced me and inspired me to do stuff. I mean, of course, a lot of my good friends who, I mean, they probably stopped writing in like 6th, 7th grade, but they were always like the first ones. There was Dirt and Dotes, probably another. I forget what Tommy wrote, but it's got so damn long ago. You know, Chris from Robots Was Kill was always an influence. The homie Scope 2 from TNI.
Okay.
I mean, funny story.
Shout him out.
We grew up like 5 blocks apart from each other, never knew each other wrote, but like you'd see his stuff up and be like, damn, like that guy was good.
It's amazing. I mean, back then it was totally different. Social media today, it makes everything so much easier.
What's great about Scope too, man, if you see him, he's got like, you know, old Polaroids of his stuff from like, you know, late Polaroids. 80s, early 90s. Yeah, Polaroids.
Do you remember the little photo huts?
Yes.
Those things were like...
The little drive-up things?
It was torture, actually, yellow. Because you would drop your film off, pray to God that you got it back.
Mm-hmm.
It'd take you a couple of days. You know, then they had the overnight one, and then they just fucking disappeared off of the face of the earth. Mm-hmm. I mean,
it's
around here, anyway. Yeah, and you know
can't
what?
Can't get shit printed anywhere now.
I still prefer the old picture.
Me too, because you hold
on
to it.
Dude, I have 4,000 or 5,000 pictures, you know, in my phone. But who the fuck is going to look at them? Nope. I mean, am I going to sit in the living room with company and say, hey, check out my photo album and like hover over somebody, you know, scrolling through my phone? It's not the same thing. Back in the day, you had a nice photo album. You spent time fucking sticking them in the paper, making sure they were nice. And today it's just fucking my phone.
Yeah. I mean, I used to have photo albums. I still have, like, shoeboxes of photos from, like, the 90s and shit.
Mm.
But from the 2000s, nah, I got nothing.
That's why I like photographers.
I get a hard drive.
That's, like, something new to me. I always respected the photographer, but, like, the photographers in the game of, you know, like, the crazy scenery and the graffiti pictures and, you know, Fabricio's. You got
to
check that guy out.
I did. I listened to that one. It was good.
This guy's awesome. And all his boys. I don't want to cut anybody short. Mm-hmm. But when you put that much effort into a picture, and
that's art, man. It's like,
yeah,
it is.
I mean, you not that, you know, okay, you're getting something that's out there. But the way you put it on the paper, you know, that's work.
The way you capture it.
That's work. He actually gave me a beautiful fucking picture framed, you know, of a track with a train sitting right on it. And it's not like he just bought the shit. The motherfucker was standing on the track taking a picture.
Mm-hmm.
I still have yet to post it. I don't know if I want to post it. I want to keep it for myself. I want to enjoy
it.
So maybe I won't post it. But people that do this photography, it's not just hitting the button, you know, there's a lot of work involved. You know, they were saying shit like fucking exposure and I can't even remember
aperture,
half the shit.
And exposure and the ISO. And,
you know, it's like, holy fuck.
Lenses.
You know, I mean, here you are in the dark room. You know, is it like the old movies, you know, with the fucking tongs and you fucking playing with the paper type shit, hanging it on a fucking line? Who the fuck knows? But it's still work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I do prefer the pictures.
Me too, man. Me too. I mean, I actually just self-published a book from all the work I did last year.
Mm-hmm.
A little 28-page. Well, it's not a book. It's like a magazine, but full color.
Right.
28 pages, all the pieces I did, all the travels.
What's the name of the book, and where the hell could fucking people get it?
Well, right now it's called The Owl Report.
The Owl Report. I should have figured that one out. The Owl Report, available where?
Currently at 14th Street Supply in downtown Oakland.
There you go.
And probably next month I'm going to open it up to like nationwide and international sales.
Great.
So just contact me if you want one.
Come on, you cheap fuckers.
Limited printing of 100.
Support.
Each one signed and numbered. Get out
there.
That's it.
Support the little business guy. I like to support the artist, little business guy. I mean, what the fuck? Yeah, you want to make a couple of dollars, you got to spend a couple of dollars. You know,
damn right.
Dig into
money
your
to make money.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's a nice keepsake.
There you go. And how many pages did you say it was?
28.
28 pages. That's pretty fucking good.
And what is it
available for? How much?
$30.
There you go. If you can't afford $30, you know, something's wrong.
Exactly.
Something's definitely wrong. And I'm sure shipping isn't all that much either.
No, shipping's free, man.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Free shipping. Why not? Shit, it's I charge shipping. Do it. I got to charge shipping because it's like, you know, you're cutting into everything else. And then, you know, priority. I prefer priority.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
So this way here, I don't get screwed because, you know, you'll mm-hmm. get the customer. Hey, I didn't get my package. Can you send me a tracking number? Sure. You know what? Even better yet, Vicky, run the fucking numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Take a fucking picture of the shit. Email it. And then all of a sudden they're like, and you don't hear from them anymore. I've had that quite a few times. And it's funny because Duel, big shout out to Duel. He's overseas right now. We have these conversations of how people try to fuck you for a package.
Time,
yo, B, I didn't get it. I remember one person messages me and says, hey, I got an envelope that was cut open. And the only thing that was in there was an Alski sticker. So I'm like, what? What are you talking about? Well, give me your information, you know, your legal name, obviously, because the screen name doesn't match. Mm-hmm. Person gives me the information. I have my wife run through the paperwork. She pulls it out that it was received, argument's sake, 2 weeks prior to this person messaging me. They're stating they just got it. Meanwhile, you know, tracking tells you when they accepted the package and so on and so forth. So I'm like, well, take a picture of it. I want to see it. Now, the person had said, well, I forgot which way it went. I think the person said it was ripped open,
mm-hmm.
right? So I was like, all right, send me a picture. So they send me a picture, and the envelope is actually razor cut open. So I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? I mean, really? I mean, it was a truck book, and I think it was a couple of markers, and they're trying to get
just
over
trying to get
on
a free
it.
One. Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, listen, dude, this shit was delivered to your house 2 weeks ago. You didn't get it today, so you know, I can't help you. I can't help you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know,
people are shiesty, man. They try to do that all the time.
I mean, look, I rather be honest because you know what? I believe karma's a bitch. I believe it does come back and kick you in the fucking ass.
Mm-hmm.
So. My suggestion to you, maybe you should charge them so you get a tracking number on the fucking thing because who the fuck wants to replace a $30 fucking book? I don't.
Not I.
No, definitely not. And you're covering your ass.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, if there's a legitimate, you know, complaint, I always send. I don't care. If I got to replace it,
likewise, man.
I'll do it. But if I smell
if I smell bullshit,
I'm like, fuck this guy. You know, guy, girl, whoever. Well, mm-hmm. whoever it is, I don't appreciate that.
Nah,
and listen, if you're really that hard up for the $30,
just ask.
You know, maybe you should just ask, right? You know, you know what I hate the most? You know, you have people, hey, how could I get that sticker? Well, if you read my posts when I advertise something, you know, you buy a $10 canvas and you're getting the fucking stickers for free.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I only want that one sticker. Well, you know
just
what?
Get the canvas
buy the
too.
Fucking canvas, and you get that one plus the other ones. You know, you want me to mail it out to you mm-hmm. on my dime
for one sticker?
Sometimes I do, but at the you know there was a certain point where I was like, enough is enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean,
fully agree, man.
I'll give anybody anything, but especially when you get people from fucking Europe. You know, can you send me 20 stickers for my skateboard?
And it's like 20 bucks to send it, too.
No.
Get the hell out of here.
No. Order it, pay the shipping, and get it when you get it.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
True
That's
that,
it.
Man. True that.
Maybe, I hope I taught you something about the tracking shit.
Because,
mm-hmm. seriously, I don't like seeing people getting robbed over stupidity. You know?
Definitely upgrade to that.
So what else we got before we get ready to wrap up?
I don't know. Just shout out a few people.
If you don't shout people out, then the show ain't gonna
get mad. Yeah.
The show won't show won't end because then people are gonna be waiting for the shout outs, and that's when they know. All right, shut the shit off, and you know. Oh wait, what track does he got on? Yeah, shout him out.
Hell yeah! Want to shout out? What we call it? Cool Disco Dan in Cuba from DC.
In Cuba?
No, Cuba.
Oh,
OG
writer.
He's out in San Francisco now, but yeah.
Yes, I thought oddly you meant enough, Cuba. I'm like, oh, no, check this
oddly
shit
oddly enough,
out.
I met that guy when I was back in D.C. in the 90s, and then he's one of the first people I met when I moved to the Bay back in like 2008. Tried to hit him up for a wall, and he's like, boy, no one's going to give you a wall. Go find your own. And I got to tell you, man, he kicked me in the ass for that and got me out there just hustling walls left and right ever since. Got to thank him for that.
Do thank him.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. I like that.
Yeah, definitely want to shout out, never met the dude, but Persuay down from San Diego. He was a huge influence, you know, with Buddy Kitty and, you know, just as far as Cali, like all the MSK dudes, AWR, Lord's Crew, CBS, the homies Aura, Roar, Seven Seas, Gunk, Pineapple Dream Team. We got Ham, City, Trevney, Maska, the ASE guys, Belly, Tupac, Fend. The homie Demiser and Snuff.
Man, you're on a roll. Keep it going.
Eddie
keep
Cola,
it going.
Dave Young the Fifth. We got PEMDAS, Me Too, Die One, Math, IROT. The homie Nug Life. Thanks for all the beats. I know he's hooking up my videos, man.
Damn, I'm going to have to listen to your shout outs because, you know, this is from the coast, brother.
Hell yeah.
I like this because you're throwing names at me. And I'm like, all right, cool. That sounds pretty cool. Yeah. Keep it going.
Lisa Randolph from the Lilac Alley Mural Project. Pengo, Mace, all the WD heads. Boy Force 129, the 640 crew, Seaver, Logo, you know, rest in peace, Animal, rest in peace, Saves, King, Sex, Cuts. Losing a lot of guys out in Oakland this year.
We lose a lot of people way too soon here, too, my
way
brother.
Way too soon.
May they all rest in paint and rest in paradise.
Yeah, got to shout out my girlfriend for letting me travel so much and still letting me paint, even though I'm a grown ass kid.
Wow, you better shout her out.
Got to shout out to Dog Oski. He comes on half my missions. If you want to shout out Q Molly, Tariq from Richmond Hood Company, John from Centrifuge, you know, Chris from Robots Will Kill. Thanks for everyone hooking me up out here. Shout out to Alski for having me on the show, man.
Why, thank you. Why, thank you, Mr. Night Owl.
Yeah. And I think I got everyone I need to get, man.
And that's what's up.
Until another tomorrow when everyone's
episode
pissed, right?
Of the fucking Alski Show right here from all the right.
Yeah.
Big shout out to Night Owl. I highly appreciate you stopping by. And
thanks for having me,
please,
man.
Please check out his work. And we out like a trout, bitches. Till the next one.